Hi, listeners. It's Tuesday, April 26th, and you're listening to episode 12 of Delicious Talk. Hi, I'm Nadine.
I'm Anika.
And this is Shelley.
And you're listening to episode 12 of Delicious Talk. And we just want to jump right into a few hot topics this week, beginning with the Celebrity Apprentice this week. This week's show was like, oh my gosh, it's good.
What happened?
Okay,
LaToya, so LaToya got voted off.
I know, but it was like Donald's reasoning for firing LaToya instead of Star was all about ratings.
I know, and you could tell. And his number one as a businessman, I would say, Donald, you're fired, because. Basically, your reasoning for fire. First of all, I have to give kudos to LaToya Jackson. You gotta admit, Nadine, if you were watching, that Nene was a scaredy cat. I mean, LaToya had the balls to actually stand up for herself and say she stated her reason, and she stood up.
She did.
Whereas when Donald asked Nene, "Who do you think?" I don't know. If you're so big and bad and you're so upfront, why didn't you say what was really on your mind?
Well,
Nene,
I don't
bitched
know.
Up.
Nene is...
She did. She was a scared little beyond.
Yeah, but she wasn't the one who should have been fired this week. It should have been Star, because Star orchestrated the from the head to the tail of that task.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Nadine. What I'm saying is, when asked, Nene was asked, literally.
Yeah, she was asked that, but that was when the men were there too. And he says, if your team loses, who do you think should be fired? And at that stage,
Donald and Star Jones are friends. So
yeah,
they are. I didn't know that.
They attended each other's weddings and all of that, and you know, who knows?
It's the schmooze circle. But I don't know. I just think that she, you know, he showed himself to be a ratings whore on that, with firing LaToya.
Yeah, because basically he knew that Nene and Star they're bound to get into it.
And they're more entertaining. But you know who I really think should have been fired, because she's useless in terms? Hope.
Playboy girl.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She stayed under the radar. Jackie from BET, the commentator, I don't remember her name, really cute with the nice hairstyle. Mm-hmm. She had made a comment on Twitter that and I totally agreed with her, that this Playboy girl, Hope, has really stayed under the radar, doing nothing and saying nothing.
You barely remember that she's there until the boardroom, you're like, oh, who is she? You know? But anyway, she didn't do anything wrong in this task, but LaToya, mm-hmm. I think, was a stronger player and a better entertaining figure on there than Hope.
And she's also made, I think she's made the most money with the hat and a couple of things that she's won.
For LaToya?
Yeah.
I think that's also why he fired her, because she already won for her charity. Remember when she won that task?
Yeah.
That's a factor too. But anyway, it's getting good. And the preview for next week, I want to know what Star has done or did to Nene to prompt her to be going off on her like that in front of Donald.
I know.
Maybe I'll watch it then.
Oh, my. I mean, she is really going off on her. And like, you better bring your A game, your street game. Where's Barbara Walters now?
What?
Right, yep. In front of Donald.
And cursing. She cursed.
Cursing. And I said, oh, Star must have really did something wrong. I sure hope something warrants that level of, you know, her
How
taking
ironic,
it there.
After she cursed out LaToya gave Nene a hug, but she would not talk to Star. She said Star was a backstabbing something.
She is. I don't like Star. And did you notice her neck? Oh, my God.
Ostrich?
Yeah.
What happened?
Star Jones' neck, when she's talking, it's like her neck strings are going to pop. It's like they're not even strong enough to hold up her head. Something is wrong.
she just doesn't seem, she's not, well, she's an attorney. I don't have no comment on her anyway.
I think she was sleeping.
No, it's not that. I'm just saying, it's that her being an attorney speaks for itself.
Yeah, but she really did badly, poorly on this task, because the executive said her materials looked like, you know, an advertisement for a club, a strip club.
The Vegas hotel.
And her explanation for, you know, when she was trying to defend herself in the boardroom was very weak to me this week. And I just thought, okay, Star, you have to take the crap. But Donald just decided he wasn't going to go after her. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to next week for sure.
And boo Donald Trump for being a punk.
Well, I want to know, I want our listeners to let us know what they think about inmates who are on death row donating their organs. There's a story in the news about Christian Longo, a 37-year-old death row inmate who murdered his wife and three kids, who would like to donate his organs as a way of, you know, I guess, atoning for his sins.
Mm-hmm.
And the state is totally, you know, against it. They have shut it down. They say that they will not negotiate with a killer, and they refer to it as being morally reprehensible. Whereas to me, I'm like, you're going to die anyway. There are really good people on the outside waiting for organs. What is the difference between an inmate's organs versus someone that's, you know, got hit by a bus and is dying and he's an organ donor?
I agree. I don't see the point.
It's going to reincarnate. They're going to put their lung in or a heart or whatever.
Yeah, but I don't see what killer. What's the point of, what are they talking about negotiating with a killer? What is there to negotiate? Somebody dies?
You're going to kill this man.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody is dead. You take harvest their organs if they want to be an organ donor. Yeah, I don't see what the point
is. He will drop his appeals in exchange for being allowed to donate his organs. So that's when the state corrections officials, you know, flatly refuse, saying they won't negotiate with the killer. But you're killing 6 to 12 people because he has kidneys, he has a heart, lung. You know,
and what is with him saying he'll drop his appeals if he's allowed? If you want to donate your organs, say you'll donate your organs. I don't get that.
The fact is, currently they won't accept his organs. So with him filing the appeals, that's a lot of time and money and energy that they're going to go through his appeal.
But still, if he wants to donate his organs.
Let me donate my organs and I won't even fight, you know, fight you with these appeals.
Well, then drop the appeals anyway. And don't tell them you want to donate your organs.
You're missing the point.
They won't accept his organs, period. That's like a no-no because they consider it morally unethical.
So because they're killing him.
Yeah, he's trying to persuade them to allow him to donate his organs. And I guess, you know, he's using his appeals as his trump card. Like, okay, give this to me and I won't appeal my case. Well, either way, he's screwed. Everybody knows he killed his family.
I see it as, you know, he is on death row and needs to have a cause. He needs to have something to feel like his life is worth something. And this is it. And I just feel like somebody's dead. They got organs just like anybody else who's dead. Yeah. So it doesn't matter where they are.
That's how I feel.
And when he goes up to the judgment day, only God can judge him. And, you know, if he's trying to make amends, let the man do it. And I think, honestly, if I think this goes to the Supreme Court, honestly, I think they're going to lose. Because I think, doesn't he have his First Amendment rights? Doesn't he have the right to do that?
Yeah, but I don't know if all... You lose some of your rights when you become a prisoner.
Yeah.
So
I think you lose your right to vote, but I think it's your body.
No, like, but I see the conflict of interest. If you've got, you know, organs that match somebody else's, you know, they can just put you on death row, kill you, and get them. So I can see the... I can see the conflict.
You are going to die. It's inevitable that you die because you're on death row. The fact is, what are you going to do with these organs once you're dead? it's not like he has an opportunity to, hey, I'm going to, you know, spend life in prison, but I'm not going to die. You're on death row. They're going to inject you with lethal, whatever they poison and kill you.
Right.
So those organs are just going to sit there and rot in his corpse. Either way, right.
But what I'm saying is, I guess I don't understand, how is it morally wrong if he's giving permission?
Well, the director of, I guess, the Center for Medical Ethics in Indiana or wherever they are, he's saying that, he says, I don't think we want to be the kind of society that takes organs from prisoners. To do so would be to use unfree prisoners as a means to an end.
But you're not. This is where I don't understand. You're not taking. He's saying, take it. I'm giving it to you.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Yeah.
I'm giving it to you. You're not coming and saying, give me your damn organs, I'm going to kill your butt anyway. You're saying, please have them, take them, and you're giving permission. Yeah. Right?
And the funny thing is that they do accept organs from inmates who die of other causes, like natural causes, while in custody, you know, but not from someone who's on death row.
Oh, this is something we're going to have to revisit, because this is...
No, I think I want our listeners to chime in. What do you think? Because this guy has created a Facebook page and he has a following.
Touchy subject.
You can't, you know, to me it's like...
I don't think it's touchy. Who cares? I mean, when they're dead, take their organ. Who cares? They're dead.
But with their permission. You can't take someone's organ without their permission.
Well, when I'm dead, I don't care what anybody does with my organs, because I'm dead. Who cares?
What does it say on your license, Nadine?
I don't know, but I don't care what happens to me after I'm dead.
My license.
You are you an organ donor?
Yeah, yeah. Because like Nadine says, what the hell are they doing? I'm dead.
I don't need them. I don't understand people who are like, you know, itemizing what they want to happen when they're dead. It's like, really.
Oh, it's, my God.
It's neither here nor there to me. So take them. Somebody else can live. Take them.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too. Of course, with your permission.
And can we go back to a lighter subject now, please, with your permission?
Go ahead, please.
Hey, what happened? No, I wanted to talk about this royal wedding again. Like, I'm just like sick to my stomach.
I'm so sick of them.
I'm so sick of it. And my wow moment was they got rid of one of the royal guards. He's about 18 or 19. And I guess he was making a rant on his Facebook page, back to privacy again, stating that Kate Middleton was such a snob when he saw her the last time. And they took him off of the wedding proceedings. He's not going to be allowed to participate.
So you changed the subject to this from life-saving organs. Okay.
She wanted a lighter subject.
This is too light
and so not of interest to me. I am really so sick of these people. It's funny. I was listening to the Gayle King show the other morning.
Uh-huh.
And she was interviewing, gosh, I can't remember his name, but I think he writes for the New York Times. And he's just been writing in the Times how he's so sick of this royal, this royal wedding conversation. Everywhere he turns, it's Kate and William. And he says he cannot believe Americans are so obsessed with this couple because it goes against everything that America has fought for. Like, we're not into royalty. You know?
Apparently we are. All of our media is in London right now covering
it.
Yeah,
I know, covering. And that's what he's saying. He's like, you mean to tell me there aren't more important things to talk about?
Well, there are always more important things to talk about.
Of course.
Yeah.
You could be talking about the most important thing. There's always going to be something else that's more important.
Exactly.
So they always pick, you know, sensational things that, you know,
give me a break.
Don't mean anything, but no, I will not be getting up at
giving what the public wants, Shelley.
No, I don't think so. I don't think we had this conversation before.
I think the media is shoving it on us. Yeah. I don't want it, and the people I know don't want it.
if they don't cover it, people are not going to be writing letters demanding that they do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they mention it, fine. It's happening. It's in the world. It's British aristocracy, whatever. But they don't need to be harping on it and having a countdown and The View even. Every day this week, they're counting down. Barbara Walters is over there, her 80-plus-year-old behind, needs to, you know, retire. I don't know. What is she doing over there? And the other topic I wanted to hit on, have you been watching Oprah?
No.
Her countdown?
I have DVR now, so I'll be watching Oprah.
Anyway, I noticed that she is like, I don't know. It's almost as though she wants to be done with the show now.
Why you say that?
Because the way she's doing these countdowns, and it's like, oh, now we're in the teens. Now we're in teens. Only 19 more tapings. Only it's like she can
That's not what I get. When she does that, I feel like it's to ignite the audience, to get a rise out of that.
I don't get that. I get that. That's what I get. She's over it already.
What? How are you going to get a rise out? To me, it'll have more sadness. Evoke that you're leaving.
That's
like, oh my gosh,
she,
only
that's
five
what
more
she
time.
Has
said that she doesn't feel any sadness. She said
there
that.
Is no, it's run its course.
Yeah, that she feels like 25 years is good. Enough. Maddie Stepanek, you know, told her to go 25 years and she's completely fine with it. And she doesn't feel any sadness because now she's moving on to something else. And I get that, but it's like, gosh, Oprah, could you seem a little less enthusiastic?
I think you're a sensitive viewer.
Maybe.
I don't get
dear
that.
Shelley.
Huh?
I said, dear no, Shelley, she said, I think you're a sensitive viewer. No, Nadine's not.
I don't think I'm a sensitive viewer.
Because I watch it and I don't walk away with that. You know, am I going to miss Oprah? I say to myself, what the hell am I going to watch now at 4 p.m? Or what am I going to DVR? You know, but hey, I enjoy this show and I've been enjoying this season.
Right.
You know?
Well, so have I.
I don't walk away with the same feeling that Nadine has, like Oprah's just dying to lock it up.
I get that from these little Facebook clips that she's posting. It's like she can hardly wait.
And she can't wait to go get the Henny shot on the beach in her tankini.
Yeah, because today she was saying how she doesn't have any hobbies because she's always working. I'm always working.
And she's looking at this as a new lease on life. And I don't blame her. Think about it. 25 years of waking up at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, taping 2 and 3 shows a day. That could run anybody ragged.
That's true.
And no one has survived as long as Oprah has.
Did you see the Best Friend show with her and Gail?
I
love that show.
The one where they were traveling?
No, not yesterday.
Just a show with her and Gail, and the audience was filled with besties.
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought it was great.
And they were remembering all of their, excursions over the years. And it was so funny. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was nice to see just how far back they're coming. You know, like when she said she was trying to boost ratings, so her television station sent her to interview Oprah. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, wow, that's real friendship. You know, you think back, like she had her daughter Kirby, and Oprah's giving Kirby piggyback rides. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, they are really, really
good
friends.
Kirby must be old now. Kirby's like in her 20s, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. They're grown. Yeah. Both of her kids are grown now.
Yeah, I remember Kirby being a little girl.
Yeah.
And Chris Rock was on, and I was just cracking up. I
Me
love
too.
Chris Rock. He is so funny.
Me too.
And there was something else, something he said that I was going to talk about, and now I don't remember what it is. But anyway, yes, I will be sad to see Oprah end.
Me too.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to get her some free therapy sessions and stuff.
Who? Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, please. not. Okay, so have you guys seen any movies lately, just to wrap up?
No, I wanted to go see Madea, but I heard it wasn't good. Did you see it?
I don't know.
Oh, darn.
I went to see Water for Elephants.
Oh, God. That was the really name good. Alone, the name alone, I would not see it. And number two, I just can't even fathom those two having chemistry. It just doesn't work for me in the commercials. Well, how was it?
It was really good. I hated the book. I read the book with my book club and I thought it sucked, but the movie was really good.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I have seen lately.
Yeah, and that's because you're a Patterson fan.
I'm a Reese Witherspoon fan too.
I'm not big enough fans of either one of them to go see that.
Well, what did you see, Shelley?
I couldn't tell you the last time I went to the movies. I've actually been doing Netflix, and the last movie I saw was Social Network, which I thought was very interesting. I
loved that movie.
Very interesting. That was awesome. And, you know, I'm just in awe at how the human mind works. It's amazing. Amazing.
We're phenomenal. What can I say?
Yeah.
Okay. I have that in my queue to see it.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Has anybody saw Little Fockers or Black Swan? That's the two that I want to see next.
No.
I saw Meet the Fockers. It was funny. The first one.
I saw that too. I want to see Little Fockers.
I just love the name. The Fockers.
The Fockers. Meet the Fockers.
Okay, so that's it for this week. Thank you guys for listening, and please tune in next week, and thank you for your comments. Keep them coming.
All right, ladies. Bye.
Bye.
Audience.
Bye.
Bye.